Text in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And before we read that text, let's again go to the Lord in prayer to ask for his grace of illumination. Teach us thy way, O Lord, that we may walk in it. Through Christ we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Thus far the reading of God's holy word, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, 2020 has been one media spectacle after another. We have listened as the pundits have tried to explain events, offering perspective, instructions, and even consolation. And as the church, we have sought to listen first to God's word, to see the world through the spectacles of faith. In verse 15 of our text, Paul calls the church the pillar and buttress of truth. Through the proclamation of Christ, we are to show the world the truth of the human condition, the obligation of the nations to the King of Kings, and the only way of salvation, peace with God and peace on earth, through the Lord Jesus Christ. As the pillar of truth in this world, the church proclaims the mystery of God manifested in the flesh. The celebration of Christmas is exactly that, a proclamation of God manifested in the flesh. As we gather as a church this Christmas Eve to worship, as we gather as family and friends to feast and exchange gifts, as we reach out to our neighbors in need to show the love of Christ, all in the name of Jesus Christ, we confess the mystery of godliness. Notice how Paul describes our confession in verse 16. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. The great mystery of godliness. He calls our confession great, and indeed it is great. It is great in profundity. In the gospel, we see that wisdom of God that is unsearchable, and those ways of God that are inscrutable. In the gospel, we see the truth of what God says through Isaiah. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that the Lord may have compassion on him. And to our God, for our God will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our confession is great in profundity. Our confession is also great in power. We'll just pick up where we left off in Isaiah 55. In verses 10 through 13, God speaks of the irresistible, transformative power of his word to bring about new creation. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Our confession is great, he says. It is also a mystery. In Paul's letters, the word mystery denotes something concealed that is later disclosed. The mystery of God's plan of salvation for the nations through the incarnation, obedience, death, and resurrection of Jesus was concealed from sinful humanity. The promise of this great salvation had been made known to the saints of old through the prophets and through the types and shadows of the law of Moses and through the saving acts of God in ancient times. But even among the elect in God's covenant community, there was only an obscure picture of the Redeemer and his gathering of people from every nation. Among the nations, the need for redemption was certainly felt, but it was hidden as sinful people made their own plans for redemption. The history of world religions is evidence of humanity's knowledge of sin and judgment and humanity's ignorance of God's plan of salvation by grace through faith in the Savior. But this mystery, this divine secret, has been revealed in redemptive event and word. The person and work of Jesus Christ are a full disclosure of God's plan of redemption because Jesus is God's plan of redemption. With the completion of Jesus' mission, what was whispered in secret under the Old Testament was proclaimed from the housetops. And so our confession is great, it is a mystery revealed, and it is godly. It is the mystery of godliness. The word translated godliness has been translated in the past by the word religion, the mystery of religion. Now, religion has to do with our relationship to God and our life before God. And so our confession is about how people and how the world can be reconciled to God. As Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That is the message that has now been entrusted to the church as the pillar of truth. That is at the heart of our confession. That is the gospel in a nutshell. But the gospel should not be reduced to a nutshell. Our confession must show the fullness of the gospel in the proclamation of the whole counsel of God, which promotes a life lived wholly before the face of God. We must teach individuals how to do all things for the glory of God. We must teach the nations to walk in his paths. Make disciples of all nations, Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, Emmanuel, God with you, even to the end of the age. That is the nature of our confession, the great mystery of godliness. Now just a word on the opening line of that mystery, who was manifested in the flesh. God was manifested in the flesh. God is put on display through the incarnation, the human life of Christ, in greater fullness and clarity than anywhere else. Philip, you recall, said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough." Jesus replied, "Philip, how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Have I been with you so long, and still you do not know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Or in John 1, verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known." He has made him known, and so we have seen his glory. We have seen the Father. God has manifested himself in the incarnation of God, the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is God? Look to Jesus for the answer. What is God like? Look to Jesus. What does it mean that God is holy? Well, look to the holy life of Jesus. What does it mean that God is love? Look to the compassion of Jesus for sinners. See him touch lepers. See him take the infants in his arms and bless them. See him eating with tax collectors. Hear him call Zacchaeus, a son of Abraham. Hear him call the woman with an issue of blood, a daughter of Abraham. See him weep at the tomb of Lazarus. Hear him pray for the soldiers who nailed him to the cross. What does it mean that God is all-powerful? Look to the authority of Jesus as he casts out a legion of demons from a man with a word. Hear him still the raging of the sea under a tempest with a simple command, "Peace, be still." Hear him call into the grave, "Lazarus, come forth." And behold his own resurrection as he vanquishes death, swallowing the grave in the victory of life. 2020 has highlighted the perennial questions of life and death and meaning and hope. In 2021, people will still be asking these questions, and the church has a God-ordained responsibility to provide biblical answers. But we must be careful that crises and controversies do not dictate our proclamation. As the pillar of truth in this world, the church is to proclaim the mystery of God manifested in the flesh. And may that be the strength of your Merry Christmas. To the King of Ages, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Eternal King, Lord of heaven and earth, you humbled yourself not only to stoop down and look upon the wretched condition of your creatures, but to be one of us, and yet without sin. You bore our sorrows and afflictions, and suffered and died for our sins to reconcile us to you. Open our hearts to behold your manifold glory through your incarnation. And beholding you, may we become like you in holiness. Adoring you, may our affections be conformed to your perfect love. As you manifest your glory through the body prepared for you in Mary's womb, may you also manifest your glory through us, your church, the body of Christ, now and forever. Amen.